Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private paid therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hello, welcome to session 34 of Selling the Couch. You know, as I've launched this podcast and the blog, I've been thinking a lot about goals and more specific goals for this business, because at the end of the day, the podcast and the blog is a small business for me. And so I've been thinking and looking and reading about a lot about how to set goals and what makes goals achievable and how do you actually do that. And I actually came across this pretty interesting study that I wanted to share with you. So this study was from actually 1979, but it's a study that is still cited so many years later. So the basic study was this. They studied a bunch of folks who were in the MBA program at Harvard, and they asked them, have you set clear written goals for your future and then made plans to achieve them? So when they asked this question, the result was that only 3% had actually written their goals and plans. 13% had goals, but they weren't writing them in any sort of way. And then 84% had no goals at all. And then what was really interesting was 10 years later, they studied the same group and they interviewed them again, and the result was pretty crazy. So they actually found that the 13% of the class who had goals but did not write them down was earning twice the amount of the 84% who had no goals. But the 3% who had written their goals were earning on average 10 times as much as the other 97% of the entire class combined. And I read that and I was like, that is so interesting. I wonder what it is about writing down goals that's so important. And so my guest today is actually a podcasting friend whose life mission, I feel like, has been helping entrepreneurs with goals and helping them to set realistic goals.
Hello, Goal Getters, and welcome to Goal Getting Quote of the Day, part of the Goal Getting Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Woodall, and so glad to have you today.
And my friend's name is Tony Woodall. Tony actually has a pretty crazy story. Tony became the chief information officer for a national mortgage company despite not having a college degree. And he attributes a lot of his success to hard work, but also to setting these realistic goals. And today, Tony's going to come on the podcast to help us set some realistic goals for our small business and actually the steps to take to actually achieve some of those goals. So here's my conversation with Tony Woodall from goalgettingpodcast.com.
Hey, Tony, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin, thank you for having me. I look forward to today, and it's a wonderful day.
Yeah, we're going to be talking all about goals. So I thought we could start at just a real honest level. Why are goals so important for someone that is a small business owner?
Well, as a small business owner, you really have a lot of noise and a lot of activities that you have to go through to keep the business running, to get new clients, to do all the maintenance that goes along with a business. And, you know, without goals, you know, and being able to track those goals, it makes it a little difficult. You tend to get overwhelmed by things. So being able to keep track of that. And goals are important because you have to have a target to be able to strive for and to have a reason to be in the business. And whatever that reason is and whatever that why is part of that setting of a goal, and having a goal is why you want to achieve it. So it's important to have goals and set them properly so that you don't get overwhelmed with all the minutiae that we have to deal with in running a business, and so that we can concentrate on what it's going to take to make that business successful.
You're bringing up a good point, because I even think about my own blog. At any moment in time or any hour of the day, there's literally probably between 15 and 20 things I could be doing, whether that's engaging on social media, working on some projects, doing a podcast, whatever that is. It can get quickly overwhelming if you don't have some idea of the direction where you're going.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's what goals are. They're really determining the direction of where we want to go in our business and in our life. And having that direction, you know, is like having a map when you're traveling. You want to know what the end of the journey is or where you're going. Otherwise, you won't necessarily know how to get there. So having those goals is what keeps us focused on that road and keeps us moving. You know, when I moved from Georgia to California, I had a roadmap and I had a destination to get to. But if I didn't look at the map and figure out what direction I needed to go and plot out those points, I would not have made it in the time that I needed to make it in. So I could have been traveling around the country for a year instead of the 4 days I needed to get across country. Sure. So having those goals are important to be able to get to where we want to be.
I love that image that you're bringing up of the roadmap, because I do think setting goals is like that. So just translating it into the private practice space, I feel like most folks, when they start their private practice, they have so much positive energy. They're so excited. They're going to be a small business owner. They're getting ready to make business cards and trying to figure out an office location and trying to figure out how much money do I want to make per month or per year? How many clients do I want to see? And I think with each of those questions, it can definitely create a sense of overwhelm. So how do you actually translate those dreams that a private practitioner would have into realistic goals to set in order to avoid that sense of overwhelm?
I try to use a three-step process, three keys to success for goal setting. And, you know, I look at it as step number one is the what. What am I trying to achieve? And we've got a lot of different things when we're trying to build a business that we have to look at. And we want to make sure that we break these down into individual ideas and individual goals, because each one is a specific goal, and you have to have goals for financial, you have to have goals for, you know, number of customers, you have to have goals for the different areas, marketing goals and things like that that you need to reach. And the what is, what do you want to achieve in each of those areas? And we strongly recommend that you write them down. Napoleon Hill said that you have to have clearly defined written goals to be able to get and be successful. Clearly defined means you have to be specific. Talking about goals, you know, everybody's heard of SMART goals before. That was a methodology that was created in the 80s for characteristics that needed to be used for setting business goals. And they really carry over to all goals in your life. And those SMART breaks down into specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, and various definitions of that in there. Essentially, those five elements are characteristics that should be included within a goal. And when you're defining what that goal is that you want, you should write that down, and it should be very specific. You want to know specifically how many clients do I want and how am I going to go about getting them. Write down specifically what the goal is that you're working with. And then setting a deadline. You have to set a deadline within each of those goals. If without a deadline, you know, your goals are really just wishes. You have to put some time frame on that. And then, you know, part of the what is being realistic. In our mind, the ability or the thinking that we want to be, you know, super successful and we have a number and stuff. But sometimes we set goals that aren't realistic. We want to be setting our goals that are out of our comfort zone. You know, you want to be able to stretch those goals, you know, have stretch goals and be making it worthwhile, but we still have to be realistic. A lot of that comes down to the deadline and the time frame. Realistic is, you know, I like to think of being realistic goals is, you know, what is the ability and the capability for me to be able to achieve those goals in that period of time, because it really comes down to time and a lot of that. So,
and it, what it sounds like also, it's something that involves some flexibility, because you may set a goal and then you realize maybe that time period that you're thinking may not exactly translate. So it seems like there's some flexibility.
Well, there has to be some flexibility. I mean, realistically, you want to strive for that goal and you don't want to just say, well, I can't make it. And that's the thing with setting deadlines. It has to be a realistic deadline, but it has to be something that you can make. You have to take into effect all of the different activities that you're doing and what you're trying to do. And running a business, if you're doing it all, it's going to be difficult sometimes to do that. But the key is never giving up on your goal. Just because you don't make the time frame, you can still change that date if you need to. But the key is to keep the goal. Sometimes you have to pivot and adjust the time frames on those goals. But the more you give yourself realistic dates and time frames with a little stretch, you know, that you have to work for it and do what you need to do, then you can usually, you know, get those goals in that time frame. But, you know, it's like, you know, if I wanted to be a doctor and my goal is to be a doctor next year, well, that's obviously an unrealistic goal.
Right.
You can't do something like that because you're setting yourself up for failure. But, you know, you have to know what the, you know, specifics are for the goal that you're trying to achieve, and is it achievable? And that's, again, one of the SMART goal measurements, is it has to be achievable. Because if it, you can't become a doctor in, you know, a week, you know, that's just not a realistic goal. So, you know, we just have to know, you know, what is the capability of ourselves, our time, and, you know, if we can realize that we do have the ability and the desire to meet a goal at a deadline, then we need to set that, even if it's a little out of our comfort zone.
So the first thing you want to do is you have to figure out what I'm trying to achieve. And then the second one is you want to set a realistic deadline.
Right. You have to have a deadline. Yeah. I mean, don't want it to be, I'll get around to it, because that's usually the thing, is you say, well, I'll get around to it, and you never do.
Yeah, right.
There's always an excuse, so.
And I think especially in this day and age, that's very true, right? There's always something that can grab our attention. And
exactly.
Okay, so then after you set the deadline, are there other steps that's involved?
Yes. What I like to do, I have a set of worksheets that I usually work with clients that I coach and things on goal setting. And along with setting the what, you have to have the how. How do I achieve that? And that's where we set an action plan. You know, what steps or tasks do I have to do to get what I want? You know, in sales or in service and things like that, where you're trying to get customers and make sales, which, you know, in a private practice, that's really what you're trying to do, is trying to get sales to get those clients in. When I was in a loan officer for a while, one of the things we talk about is, oh, I want to have a certain number of closings by the end of the month, or, you know, a certain volume that I want to close. It's really not so much that I have to worry about tracking as part of my action plan. Because if I don't do certain activities in that particular process, I won't get any sales. So one of the things that we set in the action plan is, like, for example, if you're doing sales or trying to get clients, whatever, is how many presentations do I have to do to be able to get there? You know, because if I don't present something to a customer or prospect, I'm not going to be able to get that sale. So we want to track the activities and figure out what it is that I have to do. What are the actions that I have to take that will help me along that road and help me get those goals or sales that I need to do? So I recommend, you know, setting an action plan, figure out how many of those tasks and actions that you have to take to do what you need to get to. So
you know, this idea of almost like breaking down a large goal into smaller, more manageable chunks.
Exactly. You know, a lot of times some of our goals that we have are really long-term goals. What is my goal to get to this particular point? It may take 3 to 5 years to do that, depending on the type of goal that you're doing. We always talk about setting long-term goals, 5-year goals, 3-year goals, or 1-year goal, and then set the short-term goals to get to that. And in doing that, like I said, you set the action plan, and each one of those technically is a mini goal, if you want to look at it like that, while you're doing that. And, you know, so each one of those that you're doing, they should be tasks that will get you closer to achieving the goal that you want to do. And then one of the other tools that we have is, you know, a measurement. We want to be able to measure those tasks. And I created a measurement worksheet that we have to be able to track that. And again, we take this worksheet and we define each one of the specific tasks that we're going to need to do. For example, when I was a loan officer, I had a task and a measurement that I would call on realtors 5 times a week. Each day, I would go visit a certain realtor's office, and I would track each one of those that I did. And every week, I would keep a total of that in our measurement worksheet so that I know how much I'm doing that particular activity.
Yes, and some way to like quantify it.
Exactly. And you have to be able to measure your goals that you're working on and the actions that you're doing. Because we're also money motivated or, you know, motivated by certain things, a lot of times I recommend putting values to each of those items that you are working on in a measurement sheet so that we can track that and start in our mind. You know, our subconscious mind works kind of where it likes to be motivated and it likes to do things. And we have to keep building what we want it to do and what motivates it. So I like to use money because I'm striving to reach a certain financial mark on some of my goals. And, you know, when I was in loan officer training, we worked to be, you know, top guns. And so we took mileage as our, you know, each thing was a certain amount of miles to be able to track how many miles that we did flying in this course that we were doing. And so whatever it is that you use to motivate yourself, you give yourself some sort of measurement on this tracking sheet and you pay yourself with those measurements along the way. So it helps build that reward system that you need mentally to be able to, you know, get to this point. You know, then it will hopefully go into the true financial aspects if that's what our goal is. You know, in building a business, we want to make money, we want to have a good clients and things like that. So that is a way to do that, is keep a measurement of the specific tasks that move you along the way and, you know, assign a value to them and keep that so that you have every time you meet that goal, you pay yourself, you know, on this sheet. That so it helps go into our subconscious a little bit to, you know, help guide us and motivate us as we go forward. So those are some of the things that we look at, you know, setting an action plan, defining the specific actions that we're doing, and then start tracking those actions and paying yourself a little bit along the way, you know, mentally, and what I call a mental bank, to start building that up into your, you know, your mental subconscious to get that where you're earning that as you go along. And then it just, again, helps part of the motivation.
These are all such good points. So I wanted to take a step back, and you mentioned something earlier, which is initially when you're starting out, you focus on just different components. So have you found focusing on, for example, as a private practitioner, right? Maybe you have a part where you focus on marketing, or maybe you have it on the number of clients that you're going to bring in. Is there an ideal number of areas that you should be focusing on, or is that kind of just dependent on the person? I hope that makes sense.
It does. It depends on the person and the business and what you're trying to do and how much you're doing personally and or, you know, delegating. If you're delegating processes to other people, they have to have those goals as well, and you have to follow up on theirs. I don't know that there's a specific number. It depends on what you're doing. When I was a loan officer tracking the things that I did, I had essentially probably 5 to 10 different things that I would do, from calling prospective customers, calling realtors, visiting realtors, doing presentations to realtor offices, doing builder presentations, you know, all those different steps, anything that I could do that I knew would be able to, which was all part of marketing as well as customer service, those sort of things. One of the things that I did was going to a closing. If I was a loan officer and I had a closing, I would actually go to the closing. And even though the sale was technically already done, I was going to the closing to build that customer relationship, you know, and make sure that my customers were happy and things like that. So it's more of a customer service thing, because that helps build relationships with people who referred me business and things. So each one of those tasks, you assign those different things that you want to track and do, and keep that, you know, in your measurement worksheet. So
these are such good points. And I, at the end of the day, I guess what I hear you say is that if you can write things down and you can measure things, and if you can give yourselves rewards along the way, then it makes that process of achieving some of those goals a lot more manageable and a lot easier.
Exactly.
Just shifting a little bit, I was thinking, you've worked with a lot of small business owners. When individuals typically set goals, what are some of the common like mistakes that folks tend to make?
One is concentrating on the outcome more than what it takes to get to the outcome.
On like the result versus the process of getting to the result.
Exactly. Okay. You know, we're focusing on how many closings am I going to get and, you know, or how many customers am I going to get, but we don't go out and, you know, if you're just sitting there thinking about how many customers or, you know, clients I'm going to get, and you don't go out and do the marketing, you don't go out and do something, you're just thinking about how much money I'm going to get, that kind of defeats the purpose, and you don't focus on the things that you need to get there. You don't have the, you know, again, the tasks that you have to do to achieve that goal. It's not just about, they basically get caught in the dream state where they're dreaming about, you know, I'm going to have, you know, $100,000 a year practice, and but they're not doing what it takes to get there. So that's one of the biggest things. We just don't do that, or we get involved in too many of the things that don't bring in business, you know, that aren't producing the things that we need to do to get those particular clients. We're focusing on minutiae, we're focusing on surfing the web and doing things like that, as opposed to writing down a social media marketing plan for the business, you know, coming out with the right marketing material and learning what we need to do to get the clients, as opposed to just, you know, surfing the web and hanging out on Facebook and things like that. So we get caught up in the minutiae of content a lot of times when we're doing things like that, and or just expecting people to come to us instead of us going to them and marketing ourselves. Really, we just get caught up in the day-to-day too much and focus at working, you know, in the business sometimes as opposed to on the business.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually going to say that exact quote because the book, The E-Myth Revisited, that is one of the central themes of that book. As a small business owner, learning to work on your business, so versus in your business,
right.
And that on your business is those ideas of what are the structures and systems that you can put in place, but also what are the things that are bringing profit or quality of life, whatever that end goal is for you.
Exactly. Yep. And that's, again, why setting the goals, writing them down, writing what the actions are to take. Your goal is to make money, if that's the case. Whatever it is, you have to write down those actions to take to get to that point and focus on those. Now, there's going to be other things you're going to be doing, obviously, but those are not the things that you need to concentrate on. You got it. You have to do them. And if you can delegate those particular items, that's all the better, because then you can focus on the things that bring in your clients and things like that. So,
Tony, the last question that I had for you, maybe this is more of a theoretical one, but is it better to set short-term or immediate goals, or is it better to set long-term goals, or is it sort of a hybrid of the two?
I think it's a hybrid of the two. I try to set long-term goals for where I want to be in life. And for me, for example, I have a goal that I've set for February 25th, 2018. That's 3 years away. That's a long-term goal. But there are several small-term goals that I have to achieve to be able to reach that one big goal that I have on February 25th, 2018. So you have to have a little bit of both. And it really depends on the goal that you have. And each one, you know, some of them don't take that long to achieve, and then others do take a long time. So you should have a combination. You want to look for the future and see, where do I want to be at this point in my life or in this point in the business, and then work your way back into that. And you have to then set the short-term goals for that. So it's a combination of that. We have a business goal to get to in, you know, a year. Is that a long-term or short-term for you? If my goal in the business is in 10 years, I want to be able to retire from that business. Well, then that's a long-term. Then I've got the each year or whatever is a short-term goal. And how long is it going to take me to do that? Some goals don't take that long to achieve, and they're just, you know, within that time frame. So, you know, I like to have 3 to 5 year goals of where I want to be in life and business. And again, that, especially when you get into 3 and 5 year, you know, things change. You know, my life 5 years ago is not necessarily what it is today. And where I wanted to be 5 years ago is not necessarily where I want to be now, 5 years from now. Sometimes you have to pivot when you're in working on goals and things. Also goes back to the third point, which is the why. You have to know what your why is. You know, what is the motivation for what you're doing? And that's really a big key in goal setting, is if you don't know what motivates you or what your why is, then when you get to those points where things aren't moving as fast as you want it or need to, you really have to sit back and think, why am I here and why am I doing this? So that, well, yeah, I want to be able to have business that is bringing in the income where I can spend more time with my family and spend time with my kids or whatever your reasoning is for your why. That's really what's got to be able to help you along the way. So the what, the how, and the why are the three keys to, you know, successful goal achievement, in my opinion. So
that, even that why, that's sort of the deeper, the more existential questions of why I'm creating this and what's the greater purpose of me creating.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and I like that sort of thinking of it that way, the what, how, and the why, because it taps into the practical and then also the idealistic or the underlying values.
Right, exactly.
Tony, thank you so much for doing this. What are the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me by going to goalgettingpodcast.com. I do host a podcast. You can get me at Tony@goalgettingpodcast.com is my email. I'm on Twitter. My personal Twitter is @TonyWCMB, TonyWCMB, and I also have the @goalspodcast for the podcast. So I'm out there for the Goal Getting Podcast. And one of the things I'm going to do for Melvin, for your listeners, is I'm going to put these worksheets out on a page on my website for your group, the listeners here today. And if they go to goalgettingpodcast.com/couch, all lowercase, I'll have some worksheets out there. There'll be an Excel spreadsheet format so that you can write on them. I typically like to print them out and then handwrite the different items that I'm tracking on there using, you know, longhand cursive, if you want to call it that, helps us get that into the subconscious mind. And that's another episode for you to talk about that and how that works. But, you know, that's the way I like to do it, is print it out and use longhand so I can keep track of it. But you could use it in the spreadsheet if you want to do that. So I'll have the spreadsheet out there for you at goalgettingpodcast.com/couch.
Yeah, Tony, thank you so much for being willing to do that, because I feel like something like that is going to be so helpful, and I actually can't wait to download it and definitely start on it. Tony, take good care, and thank you again for coming on.
Melvin, thank you very much for having me, and make it a great day.
You too.
Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Tony. You know, the biggest thing I was taking away was the importance of breaking down goals into smaller steps. So more specifically, I love how Tony talks about actually breaking down into what am I trying to achieve and why am I trying to achieve that. I feel like that question of why gets so much deeper into the meaning and purpose of why we set goals for our small businesses. And then ultimately, how will I achieve it? I like that idea of the timeline, especially I think for me, I've just learned that if you don't set some sort of a realistic timeline, you can always push things down the line. I can do that tomorrow, or I'll get to that. And the reality is, at any given moment, there's a lot of things we could do, and it's very easy to always prioritize other things. At the end of the day, often we then don't achieve what we should be doing or focus on what we should be doing. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 34. As I wrap up, I wanted to just direct you to the resource page on the Selling the Couch blog. I actually came up with this resource page right when I started the blog, and it's basically a one-stop shopping list for all of your private practice needs. So it includes the website host that I use, the email service provider, all the way to the software that's helpful for scheduling appointments for your private practice, all the way to private practice building books and all sorts of information. I really keep it updated. You can find that at sellingthecouch.com/resources. Have a great week and take good care, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.